fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue on the theme this week of the teaching of St. Paul from his letter to the Ephesians, inspired on Monday by the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, remembering him, and the exhortation the church gave us in the reading from Ephesians chapter 2. The apostles are the foundation of the church, and we're being built up. They're the foundation stones, with Jesus Christ as the capstone, the cornerstone of the church, which God himself, in his mercy and his kindness and his wisdom, is building a people on this earth. Those who are united to Jesus Christ through repentance and baptism and entering his church and are being built up through the ministry, the preaching of the church and life of the sacraments and the ministry and mission that we're engaged in to become a temple to the Lord himself. I think it's difficult for many of us, and in particular, I just want to speak to Catholics, but not exclusively in any way, but here's where my heart is so concerned, that so many of the baptized in the church today seem to be completely unaware of the amazing destiny they have right here on this earth, the amazing calling which will lead to the destiny of all destinies, and that we're each given a brief period of time here on earth. I mean, life is short. Scripture's clear. It's a breath. It's a passing shadow. All the saints lived with a clear, profound understanding of the shortness of life. They had the eternal perspective in mind, and it gave them wisdom about how to live here and now. Yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I talked about a section from chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul's letter, verses 17 through 24, which talks about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Paul exhorting believers to say, wait a minute, don't fall back into your former way of living. What you need is not to live by the darkened mind that lives as if God doesn't exist, but you need to live by the renewed mind that's been given to you in Christ, the truth that's in Jesus, revealed to you through the teaching of the apostles, prophets, the teaching of the church, and made possible a way of life that you can live through the help of the church and the grace that comes to us through the Holy Spirit, through your baptism. So many today live without an understanding of the urgency of the moment. I was just reading a book recently and read years ago by Father Thomas Dubay, and he was talking about the saints and getting a closer look at who they are and how they lived. He said the basic attitudes that constituted the foundation of their life and their whole way of thinking about reality. And I just want to list some of the ones he mentioned in here. And to think about your own life and relationship to this, I did that because I need to do this. Because it's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to be seduced by a world that couldn't care less about God, that is driven by a love for money, a love for power, that's material consumption is driven, and pleasure-seeking is so much a part of life that it's almost as if this is the reason we're put on earth, is to pursue all these things. And the happy life is the life of comfort and ease and pleasure and lots of things for me, that this whole life is about me and securing my comfort, my pleasure. I mean, that's the pattern of this world. And it means, when I live that way, it means my mind is set on this world. And my mind is responding to the flesh within me, that part of me that says, you first, Peter, your comfort, your pleasure, your fame, your money, your power, your recognition, your influence, that's what's first. It's the way of the world. It's the way the world thinks. St. John the Apostle, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, he said. He says, beware, in this world, you will battle the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What's the lust of the flesh? That is the pursuit of personal pleasure. Pleasure becomes an idol. I'm unhappy in some way in my life unless I'm pursuing something that's going to make me feel good. And life is about me feeling good. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. It's the love for possessions, being attracted to the glitter of gold and money, all the rest of it. People can live as if money is the reason I'm alive. We all need to have jobs. We all need to make money. We all need to provide for our home and for our family. Nothing wrong with that. But the world we live in creates a sense of discontent that we never have enough. And so we have to keep pursuing. We have to keep driving for more and more and more and acquiring more and having more. And we don't realize how much of that drive is rooted in fear of not having enough, is rooted in an empty heart and a sense of being unfulfilled and being isolated, being afraid of somehow being diminished and being left out. And it's not living by the confidence and security of a son and daughter of God, a renewed mind, as I mentioned yesterday. Ultimately, in the pride of life, it's seeking honors. It's putting myself first. It's doing everything I can to make sure I can line up my shelf with trophies that everybody can see and my name can be on all the buildings and I can become the center in pursuit of my honor, not the honor of God, the honor of the kingdom. It's the vortex in which the world seduces us, the enemy seduces us to get trapped into this. And we might pay lip service to God, but in reality, we end up pursuing those things. And even if we pay lip service to God, Jesus said, if you do those things, you become God's enemy. And it's so important for us to fight for a clear mind and a clear understanding. So here's some of the basic attitudes of the saints. He said they were God-centered, right? They put God first. He said they were dauntless in their faith. They were fearless in the face of every kind of suffering and sacrifice. They were utterly ecclesial. That means they lived and understood that they were members of the body of Christ, that they were members of a church that literally is meant to be a light to the world. They were eager for reading the inspired word of God. The saints lived in the word of God. One good way to say, where am I in terms of my passionate pursuit of God? One good question is, do I read the word of God? How much do I know God's word? I mean, so many Catholics are, you know, the saints warned us against their ignorant of Christ. They really don't know Jesus. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you know him. It doesn't mean you've become a disciple. One who says, you know what? I've encountered Christ. He's right about me. He's right about the world. He's right about the road to human happiness. He's right about my pattern of life, and I want to turn away from what's inconsistent with being a son or daughter of God, and I want to go after him. And I want to learn Christ. Well, friends, without reading the Word of God, you will not learn Christ. All of Catholic teaching, the catechism, everything, and read the catechism, read the lives of the saints, great stuff, important stuff. But it all comes from the Word of God that's been given to us. So the saints love the Word of God. They were joyously enthusiastic. They were free from egocentrism. They weren't preoccupied with, what about me? What about my thoughts? What about my feelings? What about my happiness? What about my comfort, my pleasure? They were so filled with the joy of knowing the Lord, and they were able to forget themselves. And they lived by that Philippians exhortation, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Actually, that's a command from the Lord, but they were able to live it, and joy characterized their life even in the midst of suffering. They welcomed the cross. They were not afraid of direct opposition from being identified with Jesus, number one. I mean, that was the cross that the apostles themselves carried. And Jesus said, you'll carry the same cross. What happened to me is going to happen to you. The world hated Jesus. Think about that. Jesus is the incarnation of love, of tenderness, of mercy, of kindness, of everything we would long to be. And the world killed him, silenced him. He came with a message of a loving Father, of a God who is holy, of clear light about who we are and why we're here. He proclaimed it and we silenced him. He came to say, your Father made you. It matters that you know him and live for him. You're in a ferocious battle for your eternal destiny. He sent me here to help you, to save you, to bring you home, to find your place of security in me and not in this world, so that you end up where your heart in the depth longs to be, and we killed him. We silenced his voice. We don't want to hear the voice of God. We don't want to hear the commands of God. And so the apostles went forward and Jesus said, look, what happened to me is going to happen to you. And they carried the cross. They were killed and silenced just like Jesus. A good question for each one of us is, would any of us, are any of us genuinely today in America under the threat of that kind of persecution, any kind of pushback, hostility? Why? Mostly we're not, because we will never say things that the world might not like to hear, like there is one God, and God is holy and awesome, and the whole purpose of life is to live for him. And that if you don't know God, and if you're not serving God and loving God and neighbor, that you've missed the whole purpose of your life. The day of judgment is coming, and Jesus extends his hand of mercy to offer to you eternal life in love. But if you ignore it, resist it, indifferent to it, you end up God's enemy. Talking like that is going to get pushback. Are we willing to bear that cross today? And then the cross of just the trials of life. The saints bore up under tremendous suffering, sickness, disease, other things, and they kept first things first, and they kept on with the Lord's mission, even when they're flat on their back, praying, interceding, offering up their sacrifice. They were also characterized by intellectual and academic honesty. They didn't mess with what we call today political correctness or be conformed to this world. Look at how much lying is going on today in our political culture. It's all over the place. Why? Because everybody's looking out for themselves. Everybody's looking out for getting ahead and advancing their own cause. There's no fear of God, healthy fear of God that provides wisdom and a right way of living. Where's the virtue? Where's the healthy, renewed mind? Where's the honesty before the truth? It is so rare to see. It's a sign, friends, of the kind of spiritual battle and the falling away from the faith that's happening and how much it's infecting people, even people who identify themselves as believers. The saints were logically consistent. The saints were on fire. They were not lukewarm. They were on fire and they were fully alive. That's what St. Paul and the saints call each one of us to. You can have that life if you want it. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and everything will be added unto you. To seek first the kingdom means to seek first the king. It's such an important question for us to ask today, to be brutally honest with ourselves. Am I seeking first the king? Am I looking to be in his kingdom? Am I living the pattern of life of the kingdom of God, of the family of God? Is it first in my life? If it's not, friend, the Lord's calling you today to say yes to it. First, because he loves you and he wants to bring you into the fullness of happiness for which you're created. But he's also warning us, if we don't live that way, there will be a cost. Friend, take it to heart. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.